Our epistle lesson for today is from Paul's letter to the Galatians, beginning in chapter 6 with verse 9 through 18. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Yet not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. Over the course of the last two months, we have been looking at Paul's letter to the Galatians. And I have to admit, I don't have a written out sermon for this week, but I just want to really talk to you about these closing verses in Paul's letter to the Galatians, because I think that there are some real words for us as we look at how to live church as a first century church in the 21st century, which is the LCMC's theme for this year. So let me first start with a story. So the Isle of Jersey is a small island just south of Great Britain, but quite close to the coast of France. You can see it circled up there on the screen. Jersey was actually occupied by the Germans during World War II. It was a crown possession of Britain and today remains part of the United Kingdom. But during World War II, it was occupied by enemy forces. The people of Jersey didn't know who was going to win the war, and so they had a choice that they had to make. Would they remain loyal to the British crown, or would they give their loyalty to their new overlords, the Nazis, that controlled their island? And each one of them had to make a choice. Some of them chose to remain loyal to the crown and work in an underground movement to sabotage the German operation. Others of them decided to throw their lot in with their new overlords. And at least temporarily, they gained position and prestige by doing so. Another story. Sophia and Elijah and Michelle and I, when we were living in Korea, we got a chance to take a trip to the island of Guam, another island during the same war. And on Guam, we ran across an interesting story. There was a man by the name of, I did write this down, there's a man by the name of Sochi Yoki. And Sochi Yoki was a Japanese soldier. He was fighting with the Japanese on Guam. And when the Americans invaded Guam, he decided to go hide out in the jungle and to continue to fight on valiantly for his emperor. He did so hiding out in the jungle for 28 years, not realizing that the war had ended and that in 28 years the U.S. and Japan would actually be allies, and that his hiding in the jungle for 28 years would really have been a worthless endeavor. Now, we'll come back to those two stories at the end, and I hope you see how they tie into our reading from Galatians. So I'm going to be referring to Galatians as I speak this morning, so if you'd like to open up your Bibles, if you brought them, or one of the Bibles at the ends of the pews, the black Bibles are there for you to use, and you can follow along if you'd like as we take a look at these verses. Well, Paul this morning starts by talking about sowing in the flesh, reaping corruption, and then sowing in the spirit, this is verse 8, to reaping everlasting life. You know, throughout the book of Galatians, we've been hearing this theme of living the life of freedom that we have in Christ. And in chapter 5, week before last and the week before that, we learned about the fruit of the Spirit. We said that the fruit of the Spirit was, verse 22 in chapter 5, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. And before that, Paul had talked about the fruit of the flesh, our sinful nature. And he lists an entire list of things that are the sinful nature. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you. And he goes on, he says, you won't inherit the kingdom of God if you are exhibiting the fruit of the flesh. So now he says, whatever you sow, you'll reap. You know, we have a tendency to live our lives as if the war is still going on. But we know that the victory has been won. That's what the cross was all about. It might seem like we're living in enemy territory, like the people of Jersey suddenly found themselves occupied by the Germans. But the battle is done. We don't need to live our lives like the battle is still going on, because it's been won, ultimately, by Christ on the cross. So now Paul is saying, live that way. Don't sow the seeds of the flesh, because if you plant the seeds of the flesh, that's what you'll reap, that's what you'll get. If you plant the seeds of righteousness, that's what you'll get. You know, oftentimes when I've been teaching biology to kids, we plant a seed. We either plant a bean seed as a dicot, or we plant a corn seed as a monocot. How many of you planted bean or corn seeds in class and plant them behind the paper towel so you can see the roots grow? And, you know, after a while, the shoot comes out and they start to grow. It's really cool to watch that growing. And you know that you're not going to get a bean plant out of a corn seed, right? And you're not going to get a corn plant out of a bean seed. You're not going to get good things if your life is about sowing in the flesh, sowing out of your sinfulness. You're not going to get the good things. You're not going to get the bad things of this world that are going to infect your soul if you're sowing the good things. Here's the thing, though. In life, we don't get to watch the seed behind a piece of paper towel. Now, we're all planting these seeds all the time. We go out there in the world, and every interaction we have with someone, every opportunity we have in a restaurant, on the highway, as we talk to neighbors, as we talk to friends, as we interact with youth, as we interact with adults, all of those are seeds that we're planting. And we have a choice each and every day to plant the seeds of righteousness, to plant the fruit of the Spirit or the flesh from the sinful nature. And what Paul is saying here as he closes his letter to the Galatians is, now choose to live that freedom by planting the seeds of the Spirit, the good seeds that are going to produce good fruit. That's what Jesus calls us to do in the gospel as well. That, remember that practicing patience thing we talked about? We talked about ways to live out those fruit. Now do it, Paul says. Invest in what counts. At the LCMC gathering, as we talked about what being a first century church in the 21st century looks like. We had a number of speakers, and this morning I just wanted to talk about some of the statistics that I heard from one of them. And Michelle, if you could go on. And by the way, this is the new LCMC logo, and what that globe is it's red on the left, like a burgundy red, and black on the right. And the symbolism there is that the cross of Christ and Christ's blood covers the world. And you'll see that cross going across and the blood covering the darkness of sin. That's the symbolism of that. One of the speakers I listened to talked about demographic trends. And he said that, you know, there's been a lot of bad news. People have been in despair for some time now, that Christianity, at least as a self-identified affiliation, is declining in America. Fewer and fewer people self-identify as Christians. But this speaker said, here's the good news of that. What really is happening, according to some more detailed look at what those numbers mean, is that there's a peeling away of nominal Christianity. People who are willing to say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but aren't really living the fruit of the Spirit, but aren't really trusting in Christ as their Savior, who don't really see that as who they are. Instead, it's a label that they like to apply to themselves for social reasons. This speaker said that about 20% of respondents, as they responded to questionnaires, knew the person and work of Jesus Christ and were growing in Him. And that number has stayed the same from the 1970s to today. Now, that's an interesting thing for me to hear. And the numbers, 20%, it went up and down a little bit each year. So that's just sort of an average. But what it said was, you know, in a way, now in the 21st century, we have an opportunity to demonstrate that there is a real difference between calling ourselves Christians and living the gospel of Jesus Christ and what the world does. See, if the world all claims to be Christian and yet they don't live the gospel, they don't really demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, they're not really living their faith, then it doesn't seem like Christianity matters all that much. But when nominal Christianity is peeled away and it reveals those Christians who truly know the person and work of Jesus Christ and then live their faith, now, once again, we have an opportunity like the Christians in the first century had to really make a difference in the world. But you have to ask yourselves this question. Do you really believe the gospel that Paul has been preaching in the book of Galatians? That we read in the gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? And do you then live it? Because if you really believe that Jesus makes all the difference, that Jesus cleanses you of your sins, and that now you can live in freedom, and that now you can share the fruit, if you really believe that, then you act differently. You want other people to know the gospel. You want other people to know that you're changed. You live your life like the war is finished, like the battle is done. You, unlike the people of Jersey, you know who's going to win it. So you don't see Jesus as just one option amongst many. You don't see Christianity as just one nice thing to do on Sunday morning. Instead, you live your life every day in victory. And not a selfish victory, a victory that you know is not of your own doing, but it is of the doing of Christ. You talk to people. You share the gospel. You share why you believe what you believe. You act like you're on a rescue mission. Because as being if you are a part of this church, Lutheran Congregations and Mission for Christ, you are part of a rescue mission. We're out to rescue souls. You know, it's easy to think, oh, I'm tired. I know some of you have said that to me. Joyce says it to me every now and then. I'm tired. And Joyce has been on this rescue mission for 80-some years. It's easy to say, been there, done that. I'm tired. It's time for the next generation. But I heard one other story, and I'll try to get the name of the president right, Chip, this last week. And that was the story of Lewis and Clark. Lewis and Clark, you might recall, were sent by President Thomas Jefferson to explore the Louisiana Purchase that had been purchased by the United States in 1803 from France. And part of their mission was to see if they could find that Northwest Passage, that elusive passage to the Pacific Ocean. And one of the stories goes that they reached the end of the Missouri River, their upstream portion of their journey. And of course, they assumed that what was going to happen is that they would walk over the rise, and there would be the headwaters of the Columbia River. And they would just carry their canoes from the Missouri over to the Columbia, and they would put them in the water, and they would just float on down to the Pacific. Their difficult journey that they had been working so hard at would come to an end, and they would just have this easy float all the way to the ocean. But as Lewis and Clark carried their boats to the top of the rise, what did they see? They saw the Rocky Mountains. Their journey wasn't over. This morning, I'd like to encourage you to keep it up. Keep up the mission. Keep up the journey. There's going to be mountains in the way. Just because you've gotten to the end of the paddle doesn't mean that the journey's over. That there will always be mountains to climb as we continue our mission to a lost world with the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, for those of you that have been at this journey for 6, 7, 8 decades, remember that part of the mission is to pass it on to the next generation, is to make sure that you are passing on what the journey is all about to those who follow you, so that the next generation hears the message as well. Now, finishing up our discussion of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18, Paul does something interesting. He says, see with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. Now, some people have questioned, why does Paul write that? Probably because the rest of the letter Paul had dictated to a scribe. And there's several theories as to whom he might have dictated that to. But now Paul takes the pen himself. He takes the pen and says, look, this is so important. I'm writing it myself, and I'm writing really big. You need to pay attention to this, people. This is really important. And then he goes on with this discussion about circumcision again. And we've talked about that before, but what's he really saying? He's saying, look, these people who want you to follow the law, the people who are trying to add to the gospel, they're doing it because they're scared. They're doing it because they want to be able to go back to wherever they came from and say, yeah, those Christians that were following Paul, now they're doing it right. Now they're obeying the law. See, we don't have to be persecuted anymore. Remember, Judaism in the first century was actually a protected religion until the Jews rebelled. And they could worship their own god. And if you worshipped to the Roman gods, you were fine. But Christianity was in this weird place in the middle. They weren't really Jewish, and they weren't worshiping the Roman gods. You could be persecuted for being a Christian. And so Paul is saying, those people know that you can't get to heaven by doing the works of the law. They can't do it themselves. They're only wanting you to do it so that they can avoid persecution and so that maybe you can too. But he said, living this life of faith is about that. People are going to say bad things about you. They're going to maybe not be your friends anymore. That's part of it. And so when you are out on your mission, you've got to just trust. Paul bore the marks himself. He bore them in his own body, he said. Yeah, there will be people that will turn away from you. You will have some people that will not want to talk to you very much anymore. But you will also find people who discover the gospel, who will find that new life in Christ is worth it. And they will be the best friends that you'll ever know. At 3 o'clock p.m., May 8th, 1945, Winston Churchill announced the end of World War II. Jersey was freed. Those who had formerly lived in fear celebrated, but those who collaborated with the Germans were shunned. On January 24th, 1972, after 28 years of hiding, Sochi Yoki was discovered and was convinced that the war was over. This morning I'm asking you to not live like the citizens of Jersey and to not live in hiding like Sochi Yoki, but to live out the truth of the gospel. Keep it up. Recognize that in Christ you are a part of the Israel of God. The only time Paul uses that phrase, we're grafted on to his chosen people. We have the promise. Amen.